This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't know if I'd see this band live because I don't know who it is. Generic metal.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was thinking, trying to think of something generic with Metallica, like Illuminica, right? Mm.
Graft. So dumb.
Oh, boy. So, welcome back into the show. It is the 8 o'clock hour, and as always, we either make somebody really, really happy, or we make somebody really, really upset with this sounder, because you know what day of the week it is. It's the day after Tuesday, which is always good for two guys that come and do this show because of what their lives entail, but...
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday!
Yeah. We do our poll question every Wednesday on Fesco and Dusty. Our Fesco and Dusty poll question this week is, where do you want to see the Chiefs go in the draft with their first round pick? Running back, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, wide receiver. There have been 241 votes. So you still have some time. But it is on the Fan 96.5 Twitter page. Running back, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, wide receiver. So far, out of the 241 votes, the leader in the clubhouse by a small margin is defensive tackle at 41.9%, offensive tackle at 40.2%, wide receiver coming in third at 13.7%, and then running back at 4.1. So everybody's
makes like, a defensive yeah. line coming in at number one.
Because I bring this up because tomorrow is the draft, or we bring this up. Sorry.
It is.
We bring this up because the draft is tomorrow. And now we're starting to see all the smoke that, you know, according to some, not to some, but according to Andy Reid, they had a conversation with that cat at Ohio State, a running back.
Travion Henderson.
How many of these drafted interviews turn into getting picked by the team where they go to interview at? I think a lot of those are smoke screens as well, you know? So I never get caught up in those. I don't care who visits here. You know, to me, it's a lot of it is a smoke screen, and a lot of these guys never, ever get picked. I think some of it's due diligence, too, about maybe some other guys that are potentially in the draft. But whatever the Chiefs decide to do tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, you're going to have to support. The Athletic did a look back at the last 5 years of drafts of top 50 draft picks for each team. team, and they ranked them from 1 to 32 about who had the best drafting in the top 50 over the last 5 years. And Detroit comes in at number one. In the last 5 years, guys, they've had 12 top 50 draft picks. 12 of those top 50 draft picks have turned into 13 Pro Bowls, 35 starting seasons, and they've had some really good dudes come out of that draft. Number two on the list of the top drafts in the last 5 years of the top 50 talent?
Philadelphia Eagles?
No.
Oh.
Your Kansas City Chiefs. In the last 5 years, while Detroit has had 12 top 50 picks, the Chiefs have had five. Continue to put that into perspective. They've had five top 50 picks in the last 5 years and continue to win the AFC and continue to make it to the Super Bowl. Think about that for a minute. How many Super Bowls has Detroit made with their 12 top 50 picks over the last 5 years? So the Chiefs come in at number two. Baltimore comes in at number three. They've had eight top 50 picks. Tampa Bay comes in at number four. Dallas, shockingly enough, comes in at number five when they rank their top 50 picks. They've had 15 Pro Bowls and just six selections for Dallas. And I keep scrolling and I'm scrolling and I'm scrolling. Oh, there he is, Howie Roseman, coming in at number nine on the list. Brett Veach at number two, Howie Roseman at number nine. People want to say we're living in a Howie Roseman world and the rest of the world is just kind of watching Howie Roseman run roughshod over this thing. Meanwhile, Brett Veach's drafts come in ranked seven spots higher than Howie Roseman, who had eight top 50 picks, but only translated that into seven Pro Bowls, where the Chiefs had five top 50 picks and converted that into four Pro Bowls. So the Kansas City Chiefs are doing a heck of a lot better than the Philadelphia Eagles. But the impressive thing to me is they've only had five top 50 picks in the last 5 years and continue to maintain themselves on top of the draft. And that's why when Dusty said, you know, kind of boring for tomorrow, exciting for Friday, you're absolutely right about that, because that's where the Kansas City Chiefs have made their living over the last couple of years, in that sweet spot in that second round, third round, those top 50 picks, man. They've got some really, really good dudes in that draft and continue to roll along, and they're doing it without selecting guys in the top 50. It's crazy, right? Usually you build your draft with the best players available. The Chiefs are building their draft outside of the top 50, and they're still maintaining success in the best organization in the NFL.
I just randomly searched Detroit Lions draft picks. I'm not sure what they did last year to improve their team. Maybe they were just kind of waiting for guys to develop, but I mean, the most game, I mean, I guess, is Terrion Arnold. He's pretty good at defensive back. He's a stud. And then the second round, Ernest Rakenshaw. Is that out of Missouri? Should I know that?
I don't know that guy.
Rakestraw, Ernest, Enos. Giovanni Manu. Yeah, I don't know, man. But they did pretty well in the last couple of years for that. Jameer Gibbs, Amara St. Brown, mm-hmm. Jamison Williams, if he still stays there.
Laporta.
Sam Laporta's in that draft as
Penei
well.
Penei Sewell as well. You take him in a second, right, on this team right about now. So.
No, it is interesting, because I think the one thing that gets underlined about drafts is that a lot of people want to grade them on the night or of the year, right? Like, you look at it, and that's why I think, like, yeah, I think that, what is it, the number two on the list with Brett Veach's draft, top 50 picks, five Pro Bowls, like you said, four starting season, all that, and that draft was nuts. But I always remember that draft is like they fixed a number one need of a problem, because you got completely embarrassed, right, by Tampa Bay in that Super Bowl, because you didn't have an offensive line. Patrick Mahomes gets absolutely like headhunted that entire, what was it? He had like 200 yards rushing, but like east and west,
like
not north and south.
Yeah,
something like that. And then you fix that offensive line, and then you go win back-to-back Super Bowls, right? Then, or not back-to-back, but later on you win back-to-back because you lost to Cincinnati somewhere in between there. But then it makes me believe that with that sort of history and Brett Veach's knowledge for the draft, it's kind of the same story that happened this past year. You got absolutely embarrassed in the Super Bowl. And where did you get embarrassed the most? Offensive line, defensive line, mm-hmm. right? What are the poll question leading? The two picks everybody wants to see draft, offensive line, defensive line. Where do you need the most strength? Offensive line, defensive line. So, I mean, I'm interested to see where that goes, because after losing to Tampa Bay, you know, obviously you mentioned like the Creed and the Trey, but it's that right there at 63 and 226, the future of your interior line, the wall that is starting to be built around Patrick Mahomes. And it's not like you picked fifth or sixth or 12th.
Right.
Right. And I think that's the biggest thing that, like, we sound like homers, but that's okay. That it's like, to me, it is impressive. And I gave that analogy last week where it's like, if you play fantasy football, but you don't have a snake draft, but you win your league every year, you're picking 12th or 14th, depending on how deep your league is, and you're always making the championship, or you at least have a chance to go play for the championship, and you're getting the 14th pick, the 28th pick, the, you know, the 39th, whatever it is. And it's like, Brett Veach is doing this in real life.
Yeah.
It's not fantasy. This is real life. And I think that's the most impressive thing. And I thought the question to Binkley earlier was great when it's like, does Andy Reid and Brett Veach, do they kind of like cancel each other out with what they've done with this franchise?
Well, I think it's so foolish, but that's where we are. I mean, perception is everything in life, right? Perception is what it is. And the perception is that this is Andy Reid's team and nobody else does anything, right? Except when there's a bad play, then it's Matt Nagy's fault, right? So like that's how we perceive things right now here in sports, in life in general. It's not Salvador Perez hitting 165. Mm-hmm. It's the hitting coach's fault, mm-hmm. right? It's not mm-hmm. Vinny Pasquantino, you know, as he said yesterday, sucking. It's the hitting coach's fault, right? That's how we do things in this world, right? If it's bad, we blame somebody that we just want to blame for the sake of blaming somebody because we don't want to blame our guys. And it's the same thing with giving credit right now. As long as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are together, those will be the guys that get credit. And Brett's the best because, like, Brett's not out there waving the flag like Howie Roseman is, asking
look
for all
me,
credit.
Look at me.
Smoke a cigar, took a beer to the face, all that kind of stuff.
That's tight.
Trying to be a I'm out on him. Yeah. Like he
Brett, didn't Brett purposely take the beer to the dome.
No, but yeah, I mean, but true. like, but he's now doing the world tour about it. Here's where I got hit with a beer and all this kind of stuff. Like Brett Veach is fine being behind the scenes and doing his thing and letting Andy and Patrick have all of that. That's great. But this is the guy who makes this thing run. This is the cog in all of this. This is the guy who's finding these players and saying, these are the guys we're going to take. These are the guys. And all of his scouts as well. And even The Athletic. No team has done more with less in recent drafts than the Chiefs.
Facts.
And that's all you need to know about Brett Veach. Has he been flashy like this Howie Roseman or, you know, running out there and trying to get his name in lights like Howie always is? Then maybe people would respect Brett Veach more. But that's why this works also, too, here in Kansas City. Brett understands, hey, man, Andy Reid's been around a long time. Andy Reid's had a lot of success. I'm going to let Andy take all the credit for this. I'll just continue to give him players and my check's going to cash. And that's the way he looks at it. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Brett's never wanted the spotlight. Like, I don't even know that he likes Brett Veach Town, quite honestly, and his mom loves the song.
I just think it's a different person. I don't think there's anything wrong. If Howie Roseman was like not developing players and not drafting well, then yeah, I think it would be kind of like annoying for him to go out there and toot his own horn. But I mean, he's been to two Super Bowls. He's won one, or maybe he's been to more than that. But I know he won one last year and had great drafts. I mean, if his personality is, hey, this is, I mean, look at their team. Andy Reid's one of the most humble guys in the world.
Yeah.
You don't see, I mean, Andy Reid was at the Royals game last night, sitting front row behind home plate, wasn't announced. I mean, Nick Sirianni, got it. Big Dom. Like, that's Philadelphia. You got to lean into that. If Howie isn't that personality in Philadelphia, I don't know if it works. But you got to be that guy, at least in my opinion. Now, there's other people that like that and some people that don't. But, you know, taking a can of beer to the dome and then putting a cigar in your mouth, continuing the parade is pretty tight.
Yeah, we should continue this a little bit more on the other side. There's some other thoughts, I think.
That you have?
Yeah, that we should share on this.
He's got some takes to spit.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. If you got some takes to spit on this, but that's fine. But like it's like you look at the free world right now, and everybody thinks Howie Roseman walks on water, and people are like, Brett who again? Oh, Andy Reid's guy?
Never heard of him.
Coming up on the other side, Max spit some takes on Howie Roseman and Brett Veach here on 96.5 The Fan, your own Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Start the show. We already did. 2 hours and 20 minutes ago. Don't forget, Royals manager Matt Quatrero will join us on the 9 o'clock dot here on Fesco and Dusty. We'll ask him who he thinks the Chiefs are taking in the 31st pick, or with the 31st pick, I should say. But yeah, Matt Quatrero, Royals manager, joins us at 9 a.m. here.
I hope he has a random name, like Hunter Norzad.
He's like, I don't know, man, probably the best player available.
Hey, there you go.
Thanks, Q. and enjoy your three-game winning streak tonight. They win last night against Colorado. They've won two in a row. I know it wasn't a fun game to watch, but
that was a difficult game to watch. I'm trying to think of the word I'm using for like. Trying to watch those two teams get a base hit was very, very difficult. It's like watching a bad 80s sitcom where you're trying to avert your eyes, man. Like, it's just, oh, God. Bases loaded, and we're out of the inning.
It's all right.
There were no outs. Yeah, we had three pop-ups on the infield for both teams. I mean, it was a chore to see those guys. And when Drew Waters hit that home run, shout out Drew Waters. I'm like, that's game over there. I thought the Royals would win 1-0 last night on a pass ball. Honest to God.
Yes, yeah.
That was my whole thought last night. And I should have texted you guys this. I'm like, they're going to win 1-0 on a pass ball. Like, Bobby's going to somehow get on, steal second, steal third, pass ball, Royals win 1-0, get a run without a hit. Right?
That's what it felt like.
Felt
that was
like
the
it last night. Yeah. I felt like that going into the game, though.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that going into the game today.
I agree.
You know? Hey, Chris was really good last night, by the way. Boobich. Like,
nice
job. He really was boobalicious last night, man. That guy was good.
Yeah, I texted Vern last night. I was like, who's the MVP? Is it boobalicious? Is it Freddie Fermin? Two big plays late in the game. Threw the guy out at third, then got the game-winning hit. Or was it Drew Waters? Who had three hits, who almost hit the cycle.
Yeah, double away from the cycle last night for Drew Waters. Yeah, he's making MJ Melendez look bad.
Oof.
Oh, wait, MJ did that to himself.
Yeah, he's still in AAA. But, so he said Boobich was your MVP last night in the Royals game.
Okay, he did.
Yep, he gave us that. So good to see that Boobich was still dealing. I mean, seven scoreless, just absolutely hosing people down.
And I don't care if it's against a minor league lineup or not. He looked good last night. Yeah.
Who cares? Dominate and
beat teams that are worse than you.
Keep losing teams losing. Yep. And that's what they did with Colorado. You got to sweep the series. There's no exceptions. Not sweeping the series is a loss. You said you wanted to spit takes about Brett Veach being greater than Howie Roseman.
Well, I just think when we talk about Howie Roseman, the conversation should come up that one, he's done more trades and he's done this longer. I'm going to give Howie Roseman some credit first.
You can't keep a coach either.
Give Howie Roseman credit first. He's done it a long time and he's been really successful. He's had some great picks. He's made splashes, and you mentioned it, with trades, and I think that's what a lot of people, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley. If you look at the drafts, he's had a lot of misses.
Yeah, trade, yeah.
The worst pick in recent memory, Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson, who was the very next pick in the first round.
Oh, but let's criticize Brett Veach for taking Mecole Hardman over D.K. Metcalf, right?
And you talk about those trades. One blockbuster that he wanted to pull off but didn't, which he should be thankful for, and I'm sure he is.
But the Eagles are winning Super Bowls in the – oh, wait, never mind.
Was in 2022. He tried to trade for Russell Wilson. He tried to give multiple firsts, a fifth, multiple players, a slew of picks.
Really?
I don't
remember that.
Yes, in 2022. And Russell Wilson turned it down. Seattle had in play. It was going to happen. And he wanted to go to Denver instead. But Howie Roseman gave everything. He said, yeah, Jalen Hurts, yeah, you're not it. I don't like you. So
he hasn't been able to judge the quarterback properly and benefited from trades and free agency in a trade that didn't happen. As opposed to a trade, that's good information. I didn't remember the Russell Wilson stuff. That sometimes you're a benefit of the things that don't happen in sports, as opposed to the things that do happen. Same with life. I mean, sometimes the things that don't happen in life are the things that are ultimately the best things to happen for you. And so, not getting Russell Wilson, maybe it saved Howie Roseman's job. You know,
100% it did. I believe so.
And Nick Sirianni's job. We may be talking about a new GM. And a new head coach in Philadelphia. That's a crazy one. I didn't know that. That's wild. Yeah, that's good stuff. Diana Russini reporting this morning that the Steelers, Browns, and Vikings could be involved in a trade for Kirk Cousins. That's right. You heard that correctly.
Whoa. Vikings?
Going back home?
Yeah, I guess they didn't get enough.
Justin Jefferson's like, please. Like,
what the hell is wrong with J.J. McCarthy?
That's unproven. Yeah.
Is it unproven, or did they look at him and go, oh.
Would you rather J.J. McCarthy or Cam Ward?
Well, they're both unknown. I'll take J.J. McCarthy at this point.
I'll take Cam because of the
more of the unknown.
Athletics, the physical prowess.
J.J. McCarthy or Shador Sanders?
J.J. McCarthy.
I think J.J.
That boy, man, he's getting some slander. His interview was the worst I've ever been
in. I saw that yesterday. Why are we doing this at this point in time? Who's that guy?
I forget who it was. But like,
put your name on it.
Worst interview I've ever been in. Was arrogant, self-entitled, didn't know anything, overrated talent. Wouldn't be surprised if he fell out of the first. I'm like, who did he get pissed off
and by? Did you play wide receiver in the NFL and Deion locked you up for a couple of years? Or did you try to get on Deion's staff and he not hire you? Because that sounded as personal a comment as you can get to run down Shedeur Sanders. Look, do you think he's going to be a superstar in the NFL? A lot of people don't. That's fine. Say that. That's okay to say, I just don't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. Okay, fine. But to say all that slanderous stuff about him that only you can prove, because it only happened to you in the worst interview I've ever been a part of. How long have you been in the NFL coaching, first of all? What team are you on? How many of these interviews have you taken part in? Like, stuff like that, it really kind of does bother me. But I'm more intrigued about this Kirk Cousins thing than anything, because Pittsburgh still needs a quarterback. They're on the list. The Browns, do they need a quarterback? I mean, you already have Joe Flacco. Why are you going to go get Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, that seems dumb.
I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that question. That's why the Browns are the Browns. Seriously.
Maybe they saw Kirk Cousins or Joe Flacco come and throw at OTAs, and they're like, oh, shoot.
Like, okay.
But wasn't this Kirk Cousins stuff going on before Joe Flacco signed there to Cleveland? Like, I think right?
The smoke's been there,
right?
Yeah.
So you signed Joe Flacco. You're going to go out and sign another grandpa to play quarterback? Like, what are we doing here? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Expensive grandpa.
Yeah, at that, because you're going to have to pick up a salary, give up picks to get him. Like, I don't get that. I don't get that. Like that. But again, that's why the Browns are the Browns. And then the Minnesota one, that tells me they don't think J.J. McCarthy is ready to go. If they're considering bringing back the guy that they got rid of because they had this guy on the forefront, you know, and J.J. McCarthy, and now you're going to bring the guy back that you got rid of, like, that doesn't ring good, in my opinion anyway, for J.J. McCarthy. I mean, whether it's health-wise or whether it's talent, it doesn't appear that that's the guy in Minnesota at this point in time. But the reason I take him over Cam Ward is because he's already had a year with Kevin O'Connell, and I think Kevin O'Connell is becoming the new quarterback whisperer in the NFL.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Most recently, it feels like
he's got one. He's got what, two?
Turned Sam Darnold into a good one, turned Kirk Cousins into a good one, right?
So can I ask just a fun question? Is it Kevin O'Connell or is it Justin Jefferson?
He's done it with two different quarterbacks, though.
So like Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, but I think the coach has to get credit. Okay. I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's part of both, though. I think if Jefferson's not there, I still think we see the growth that's done by O'Connell, but not as much, right? I mean, some of these plays, just Jefferson, double coverage, mossing people.
Yeah, take, you know, Patrick Mahomes away from Andy Reid. He's not a good head coach. Like, it's, you take these guys away, and we're like, oh, what could, well, not a lot, because Justin Jefferson is really good, but I think Kevin O'Connell deserves some, and that, coming from me, is hard to do, because I don't give any of these head coaches credit.
No, you don't.
Most of them are losers.
You could do it.
I could for a lot of these teams. Absolutely, I could. You hire the right people, you put people in place, you allow, that's leadership, man. You take a step back, you put people in position, you allow them to do their job, you love them up, you give them all the resources that they need. That's what a good leader does, right? You don't need to be in there every day tell X's and O's, but so many of these coaches are not good leaders. They don't have the people skills. They don't know how to lead an organization. It's so much more about the X's and O's. Kevin O'Connell feels to me like he's kind of that whole package. I'm interested to see this next step for Kevin O'Connell, but I like what I see so far out of that guy.
Because I find it interesting that we're able to give Kevin O'Connell credit, but nothing towards Ben Johnson.
With Jared Goff?
Jared Goff was in the Super Bowl, though, with another team.
With Sean McVay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like,
and Jared Goff did get better with Detroit.
He did. And again, St. Brown, LaPorta, Williams.
A lot of talent.
Gibbs, Montgomery.
O-line.
O-line's good. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess Ben Johnson's big shot is Caleb Williams. Like, as Kevin O'Connell's was
Darnold.
There you go. So you look at I guess that would be why you could give him a little bit more credit, right? Like Kevin O'Connell actually was the man, the head coach, doing it with Sam Darnold that nobody but Mac saw coming that could have a solid year. Credit where credit's due. And then, you know, now Ben Johnson's like, all right, man, like Caleb Williams, go do what that guy did in Carolina or in Minnesota. And then maybe try to be this, you know, this guy in Chicago.
Why couldn't it have been Dan Campbell that gets all the credit for Jared Goff too? And, like we give head coaches credit, right? But in Detroit, it's like, well, Ben Johnson. Well, Dan Campbell's was a tight end and an offensive guy. Like, why doesn't he get the credit? Because he said he bites kneecaps, so everybody thinks he's like an idiot. You know, like,
yeah, meathead.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why doesn't Dan Campbell get the credit for the offense in Detroit? It's weird how we view things, isn't it? Like, just this whole conversation is so, like, how we view things and how perception and first impressions matter so much to so many people. Because the first impression you had of Dan Campbell was what? Oh my God, pure beef, eating kneecaps. This guy's never going to be successful. And then he is successful. It's like, well, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson are the greatest coordinators we've ever seen. Like, we don't want to give him credit as the head coach, but we'll give, I don't know, Kevin O'Connell credit as the head coach, or like Mike McDaniel down in Miami. Everybody loved Mike McDaniel. He's going to be this great, great head coach, you know? But for whatever reason, Dan Campbell has led that turnaround. And everybody's like, the coordinators.
Just, never mind. Just the usual texter.
Oh.
Thank you. My first impression of Dan Campbell was like, boy, I hope it works out.
Yes, you know,
I wasn't like, this guy's a meathead or anything like that. I was just like, that's a bold press conference, because you know everybody in Detroit that does sports radio.
I've heard that.
He won the press conference today. And, you know, like, it worked out. Like,
it's a big year for Dan Campbell, though. It is.
For sure. Yeah. The birds are the birds have flown the nest.
Right. Like,
your kids are gone off to do their own thing now.
And now you're with your wife for alone going, what are we going to do tonight? You know,
Oh, it's nothing. That's nice.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same way with, like, when you look at coaches that can be something that have come from some sort of proven background. You look at a guy that's press conference, like that Duvall guy. Like, if he goes out there in Jacksonville and he's just fine, they'll forget about Willie Walker.
Absolutely.
But like, you look at Adam Gase, man. Remember when he was on mushrooms trying to do that press conference?
The eyes,
done.
Right.
Like, done. But if it worked out, then you
you're fine with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, it'll be interesting to see.
Lose the press conference, like Nick Sirianni lost the press conference. His opening press conference as the Eagles head coach was like romper room. I don't know if you guys, it was bad. And people are like, oh my God. And this guy's gone on and taken his team to two Super Bowls. So like the press conference stuff, while we judge everything based on that, Nick Sirianni is proof that you could lose the press conference and still be a very good coach, even though they still don't like him in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Or you can win the press conference like Dan Campbell and people be like, I don't know if this is going to work. I've seen this before in Detroit. So like those press conferences are funny back and forth how they go. But perception, man, that first impression that you have really does set the tone for, I think, how you view players and people. And, you know, they say the first impression is the most important, and it is, because we form those initial kind of, you know, perceptions of everything. And then we live off them forever. We're so unwilling to change once we've made our mind up, you know? And that's where I am. Like Kevin O'Connell a year ago, I didn't know who the guy was. Never heard of him. Looks like Matt Fleener, right? Now I'm looking at Kevin O'Connell. I'm like, damn, that guy's a really good head coach. It's okay to change your opinion of things when you get evidence, right? Like Travis Kelce, first year, doesn't play. He stinks. He's going to be no good. Well, as we progressed along, we realized, he's pretty damn good, right? You change your perception of that guy or whoever that may be. I'm sure nobody had a good impression of Ned Yost when he first came in. Oh, this guy was fired a week before the playoffs in Milwaukee. Yours truly, right? I had a song about it, for God's sake. It was a good one.
Now they're best friends.
Yeah. But you change your perception of things as stuff goes along. It's okay to do that. But for whatever reason, like, we get so wedded into our beliefs that we don't want to change. Like, it's okay to say Mike McDaniel in Miami is not a very good head coach,
even though we thought he was great for the first year or two, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's okay to change that impression.
It's okay to change that, you know, that perception that you have of that guy.
Sometimes people are overrated. And that leads us into our next topic, which was they did a NBA Central or the Dunk Central on Twitter, did a poll they took it from The Athletic, and it says, who is the league's most overrated player? There were 90 votes casted on NBA players overrated. Want to take a guess who is number one?
LeBron James.
No. He was way down the list.
That guy who got fined $50,000 yesterday by the NBA, Anthony Edwards.
Should have been 100. It was actually the guy that used a referee as a shield last night to talk smack to Dame Lillard. That is Tyrese Halliburton. He was the most overrated voted player in the NBA. Following was Rudy Gobert, Trae Young, Jimmy Butler. That's
Trae Young.
Yeah.
People hate that guy.
I hate Trae Young.
Like, is he on the Mount Rushmore of athletes that universally everybody just hates now in professional sports?
Well, you know who he was traded for in draft day?
Yes, I do. And I can't remember now.
You should. He's a pretty popular player in the NBA. I guess just got traded. Think of Nico Harrison.
Oh, Jokic?
Yep. No.
Close. Doncic.
Doncic. Luka. Yes. Luka. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, who you were thinking?
White foreign guy. Ickch. Exactly. Pretty close. But yeah, so half a credit.
Thank you.
But no, so I asked the question, who's the most overrated NFL player?
Oh, that's easy. I got three. Allen, Burrow, and Herbert. I mean, it's pretty easy.
The quarterbacks?
Absolutely.
Oh,
combined, they have one Super Bowl appearance and no wins. Allen, Burrow, and Herbert. 1, 2, 3. Jeez. Three most overrated players in the NFL.
But Lamar, Lamar's not?
No, I love Lamar. He's my guy. I will. I Lamar should hire me as his PR guy.
Clear the drawers. Exactly. Mop the floors.
Lamar should hire me as his PR guy.
It's his mom.
Because I will go to the mat for Lamar, and I have no reason to whatsoever other than I love him as a person. I love him as a player. I just love Lamar Jackson. Give me all the Lamar, baby.
Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin. Three of the top six quarterbacks.
Yes, exactly. Herbert, that's fine. I'll accept Herbert right now because he has yet to do something in the playoffs. That's fine.
Those what is Allen two. And Burrow? I mean, Burrow did beat the Chiefs, get to the AFC,
the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. Fine.
Allen's been to two AFC championships, and he's given the Chiefs everything.
Not all of it, though. Chiefs gave it right back to him and then some.
Mm.
Look at that final score, baby.
Yeah, I'm not.
Chiefs more, Bills less. Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, happy birthday to local celebrity Jimmy Gaffney. He's celebrating his birthday today.
Oh, nice.
Shout out Jimmy Gaffney. Saw him yesterday. Let's go,
cool.
Jimmy. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yimbo. Mac, you got an overrated NFL player? It's making me think.
I don't know.
Week four will be Saquon Barkley, I promise you.
Oh, stop.
Ooh. Week four, it could be Tyreek Hill.
Oh, he's on the list now.
You think he's on the list right now?
Is this bad for me to say Bijan Robinson?
Oh, no. Come on. Yeah, he's good.
Okay,
he's
but
really
he was
good.
Supposed to be like Jahmyr Gibbs good.
I think he is Jahmyr Gibbs good.
Numbers-wise?
Yeah, I think numbers-wise. Yeah,
I went naked into that. I didn't look at his numbers because I know year one. Now, this is me being biased. I was fantasy football guy. I drafted him.
This is where it comes from.
Nah, see,
this is the perception stuff that's so much fun.
The numbers weren't there in fantasy. Like, they just weren't. But they also had
Tyler Allgeier.
They had that nasty stash guy leading the team.
Schemes? Yeah.
They had
his is nice.
Had Desmond Ritter.
Yeah.
The Riddler.
And then they also had, they were giving the ball to like the other guy.
Tyler Allgeier, who had 1,000 yards
and
as well.
And Cordell Patterson.
Yes, exactly.
So I was like, all right, is the hype train not there? I'm trying to think of maybe I'm missing somebody because text line 913-586-7965. Who is somebody that you believe is Dak on that list?
Well, Dak's a good one.
He's kind of over, like,
oh, God, yes.
There we go. Yeah, Dak's a good one.
Yeah, anybody who plays quarterback for the Cowboys is automatically overrated.
God, who's over? Who else is overrated?
Stephon Diggs overrated, or he's just getting older?
Because
he was
older,
a stud.
He was amazing.
So I think age you have to take out. You have to put somebody in that age of like 27 to 28 that like everyone thinks is just this just all-time awesome, like just has all, and it's like, what? No, he's not. That's tough.
Hey, even Raider fans are not overrated at this point in time. Their SB Nation page did a poll. Should the Raiders trade for Tyreek Hill? 77% of Raider fans said no.
Damn.
So you want to talk about overrated? Tyreek Hill going to be on that list. But I don't know if he's 31 years old right now. Like, was it a year ago that he was the number one player in the NFL?
Yep, last year.
Last year at this time, he was the number one player in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Does he make the top 100 this year?
Yes. He'll make the top 50.
Yes.
Okay.
DK Metcalf.
That's a good one.
That'd be one of my answers.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Yeah, to bring it back to the Brett Veach conversation. Yeah, the DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf.
One. Yeah.
This guy has a six pack and runs in a straight line and 6'4". People just think he's the best guy ever.
Bijan Robinson balled last year.
What is Bijan Robinson? Yeah.
He balled. 304 attempts for 1,456 yards, 14 touchdowns.
Would either of the Boses be on that list?
Yes.
Joey.
Yeah.
What about Christian McCaffrey?
No.
Even factoring in play a year, miss a year, that kind of stuff.
Christian McCaffrey, Mike Trout, Kawhi Leonard, start bench cut.
I'm starting Christian McCaffrey, benching Mike Trout, cutting Kawhi Leonard.
Starting Kawhi Leonard and benching Mike Trout, I'm cutting McCaffrey. Kawhi has a title.
Cutting the only one with a title.
Yeah.
And basically like the reason they won the title.
100%.
That was like the birth of Kyrie. Or Kawhi.
Yeah, right. That laugh. Yeah. The laugh is so good.
The claw. It moves.
But does anybody remember them winning?
Kevin Durant got hurt and Klay Thompson got hurt and they won the championship. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson, his rookie year, 976 rushing yards on 214 attempts.
What about, who did I just say? I said one of the Boses.
Nick Bosa is a stud. He's won Defensive Player of the Year twice. He's been to two Super Bowls. Yeah. He's a specimen.
But Joey,
Bosa, got to be on that list, right?
Yeah. Overrated NFL player. Overrated.
Taylor Lewan was kind of overrated for when he played. I felt like he had one great season.
I think he's overrated now. Like, people, you mentioned his name in Chiefs fans, like, we got to get that guy. He hasn't played like Colin Kaepernick style. Like, that guy hasn't played in like 10 years, and every 10 minutes there's a new story about him getting ready to play in the NFL. I've been getting ready to play in the NFL. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Was an overrated player. He wasn't any good.
Some people say Brock Purdy, Najee Harris.
Interesting one.
George Pickens, or is there a problem of quarterback?
That's fair.
And then somebody says Odell Beckham Jr. was severely overrated. He made one catch.
I'm with you on the Odell Beckham Jr. thing. He lived off of that catch for a long, long time.
He did more than one catch, but that's fair.
Overrated. Yeah, we're talking overrated. Odell Beckham, way overrated that one. Anybody that the Browns have drafted.
That's another one. His name still comes up. Oh, we should get OBJ. Yeah. This guy hasn't played.
OBJ? I'd rather have LBJ.
Yeah, whose legs are better, LBJ or OBJ's? Ever since that cruise, man, it just never went the same.
You're not wrong.
That's true. I forgot about that.
I mean, the Giants have not recovered from that. Odell Beckham Jr. really hasn't recovered from that.
I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. literally has 5,000 yard seasons, and his first three seasons in the league were not overrated. His first three seasons in the league, he had 91 for 1305 and 12 touchdowns as a damn rookie. His second year, he had 96 for 1450 and 13 touchdowns. His third year, he had 101 for 1367 and 10 touchdowns. Dude had 35 touchdowns and 3,000 yard seasons in his first three seasons in the league. That can't be overrated.
Yeah, but what happened after that?
Then he got hurt.
But that's an NFL career, 3 years.
But then But then he got hurt, and then he had 77 for 1052 and 6, and then he had 74 for 1035 and 4. That's nice. So, I mean, that's
on Cleveland.
And his first 6 years, no, those were both with the Giants.
Those were still with Giants.
The second one, the 1035, was with Cleveland. But his first 5 years in the, his first 6 years in the league, he had 5,000 yard seasons. And he had a slew of touchdowns.
And he was like first in his first 4 years of a wide receiver.
I don't think he was overrated. He just turned 28. And
he got old.
And then he missed an entire year because he didn't sign, is what it says on Pro Football Reference.
Yeah, remember that. Guys get old fast, and it happens overnight. Like, I hate to be this guy, but like, you're going to see that with Tyreek Hill this year, right? And he's got a lot of other things going on that he needs to get figured out, like life, how to be an adult, all that kind of stuff. But you're also going to see the production.
That's like horseradish.
You're going to see the production drop because he's 31 years old. I mean, the only people that age really doesn't get to anymore are these star quarterbacks in the NFL. And that's because the NFL does such a great job of protecting them. I know we don't like it all the time, and we kind of whine and cry a little bit when you can't hit the quarterback, but you got to preserve these guys because without the quarterbacks, we don't have a league, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're watching Salvi kind of get old right now.
Yeah.
Watching Kelsey do the same.
Kyler Murray might be overrated.
Oh, God, good one. Yeah. But he would have to be rated first.
Yeah, that might be done now. He might now officially, people be like, he's not good.
Yeah. Russell Wilson?
He threw an interception in a Super Bowl. If it wasn't his fault. Well, coming up on
you
the
got to audible out of that, man. I don't care what your coach says.
Dude, get out.
You hand it off, you win a Super Bowl, ain't nobody complaining that you audible out of that.
Bob asked us a question. What's the one place you'd like to get completely jacked up with your father? 913-586-7965. You and Pops going out, taking a few for the road, taking a few for the store, and everything else impossible could be happening. I don't know what I just said, but coming up next, where do you want to get messed up with your dad? 913-586-7965. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
That we're talking about this because why it's sad is because Tom Brady has now reached that category where he's doing the dad dance at Coachella. Like, it looked like Matt Nagy winning the Super Bowl in front of Union Station.
How's he supposed to dance?
Doing the dad dance. It's just funny. Funny. I mean, it is. I mean, you get to that point, you're like, all right, I'm 47, I'm going to do.
You can't hide it.
The dad dance, right?
You can't hide it.
Can't hide it. And so Travis Scott's performing. And the video is great, too, because Brady's son's like, all right. Like, you're still my dad. Like, really? You're Tom Brady. It's like, hey. Like, Tom's dancing, like, the seas parting, right? Like, everybody's around him, kind of going, okay, hoodie, jeans, 47. Like, woo. You know, you've seen it. We've all been there. And so I saw that the other day. I'm like, that's kind of cool, right? Like, if you're Tom Brady's son. But again, it's still dad, right? Yeah. You know? And so I asked you guys, where's the coolest place you've ever gotten, you know, the party on, dude, with your dad? Have you?
Yeah, a couple times. I've been at the lake where, you know, I was at the age that finally I could have fun. And we did we let loose there. Went to the Bruce Springsteen concert a few years back. That was awesome. Didn't get like jacked up like you know, hammered, but like I was doing fine. Like I was buzzing, and then it was like Born to Run hits, and I look over at my dad, and he looks like a 16-year-old girl at a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, all right, he's at another level I've never seen before.
That's such a great song. God, I mean, I wish we could play it.
No.
You have, like, you know, Born to Walk there?
We have Birth to Jog.
Birth to Jog, yeah, okay.
That's the cover song.
Yeah. By Bill Springsteen, Bruce's brother.
Yeah, I can't even say Springsteen. But no, that, and then we were at the ALD, when they beat Baltimore,
yeah.
ALCS.
ALCS, yeah.
I was there with him, and when Gordon, like, crashed into the wall, he did one of those, like, are you kidding me? And I was like, right in front of us, right below us. So yeah, that was there. I mean, I'd love to, like, if I could have, I wish I would have had the opportunity. I don't now. We talk kind of ties in the two what ifs at the end of the hour. Go to like a Buffett concert.
Yeah, I got to do that a couple of times with my dad. Wrigley was pretty cool.
Oh, you know,
we saw him twice in Chicago for whatever reason, because that's like Buffett was mad at Kansas City for a while. Wasn't playing here.
Tickets.
Yeah, there was some ticket thing that, that took place. So you had to always
said
go out of town.
Never come back.
Yeah. And so you had to go out of town to see him all the time. And so we did two shows in Chicago that were a lot of fun. I think the most memorable time I was, you know, partying, if you will, use the term loosely, we were in a Mexican town called Ciudad Acuña, which is a border town.
Ciudad,
right? Yeah, see, and it was almost Ciudad. But no, Ciudad Acuña, right across the Rio Grande from Eagle Pass. I would say West Texas, but it's not west. Like, you know, west of San Antonio for about 2 hours. And the year prior, we had gone to Laredo. And in Laredo, you just walk around and you drink and you have yourself a good time. Well, we did that in Ciudad Acuña, and the police officers were on us in seconds. And we're like, well, in Laredo, you can do this. They go, you're not in Laredo. If you don't go back inside that bar, we're taking you to jail. And so I'll always remember that town, Ciudad Acuña, with my father and I almost getting arrested and sent to a Mexican prison because we were drinking a Dos Equis on the street. Mm. Very nice town. Nothing like Laredo. Very calm. Not a lot of people there. You know, just a different experience. And I'm like, all right, we can do this. But no, that was a big mistake, you know, on my part. Then my dad, I've always told the story. My dad passed out going into a football game, watching the Giants in the year 2000. Was so excited. We were home, drank like half a bottle of tequila in the parking lot. Couldn't get in the turnstile of the game. They let the man in, and then everybody pelted him with snowballs because he passed out the whole time. So I've had some experiences.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
See you, Dad equals city.
Yes, of course.
That's what the text line says.
Oh, thanks.
God. somebody says, I would have to say Smokehouse Barbecue, Hy-Vee, Maloney's, The Landing, or Sand Trap for me and my father to get messed up.
That's outstanding. Yeah, way to go.
somebody from the 913 says Kansas Speedway twice a year. A couple times ago, he fell in the fire.
Oh, nice. So you've had the same experience.
I'm burning for you. When I was in college and he came to a party and there was a line of guys attempting to beat my dad in a beer bong race, he was never beaten.
Oh, that is awesome.
Frank fantastic. The Tank came out. No Home Depot that's the great. Next day. Somebody says, my dad doesn't smoke, but I'd love to just go in a nice viewpoint and smoke a J with him and chat it up. Your dad, if he doesn't smoke, may not chat.
Yeah.
You might be like tapping him on the head and be like, Dad, you still with us? Is there a Sonic close? Yeah, that would be funny.
Yeah. Duval.
And then you're like, nah. He's like, nah, I get it.
Yeah, exactly, makes a lot of sense. What about you, Mac? Have you ever had an experience?
Yeah, they went to Applebee's.
Yeah,
oh,
of course,
that's right. You got the $1 margarita that they wrung out the dish rag with and filled your glass,
ew,
then microwaved it.
How do they microwave it?
Yeah, AFC Championship game, the first one against the Titans we were at, and that was amazing. That was just surreal. And then we took a ski trip before the Super Bowl against the Bucks, and we had a couple nice nights.
I love you, Dad.
Say it. Never says it.
Did you miss the Super Bowl that year because you planned a bad trip like you did this year almost and missed it?
No, we saw it, sadly. Unfortunately, I saw that one. Yeah.
That's all right. It's better to have seen than to have never seen before. Which, for 50 years, we didn't see squat.
Mm-hmm. Jack Diddley.
Hello, Dad. I got good news and I got bad news. Good news is Mom's still alive. Bad news is she's sleeping with my boss, Raj, King of the Slams.
Love to see that someday. I'm just kidding. Either way, we look at it. We have the Royals manager, Matt Cotrero, on the other side. And I want to ask him once again, did he witness what Jack Caglione did last night? Because it was Cy Young killing for the man in Northwest Arkansas. You're listening to the home of the Royals, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.